This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Hurricane Irma knocked out power for more than 10 million residents of Florida and damaged most homes in the Florida Keys this week. The devastating storm has also caused major damage in the states of Georgia and South Carolina. For those whose homes are still standing, flood-related damage would require rewiring, removing floorboards, walls, dealing with mold, and much more. Residents of a number of Caribbean islands, especially St. Martin, were also picking up the pieces from the horror of Hurricane Irma. As climate change-fueled hurricanes are devastating people's lives, Donald Trump is quietly continuing his project of dismantling public protections and also unfettering the fossil fuel industry. DSmog blog recently reported that the Trump administration has begun quietly expediting the permitting process for the liquefied natural gas, or LNG, industry. Touting LNG as a, quote, environmentally friendly fuel, Energy Secretary Rick Perry announced the expedited process as a way to, quote, unleash American energy to the Caribbean, Central America, and South America. Joining me to discuss it is Joshua Frank, managing editor of Counterpunch, author of a number of books, including the forthcoming Heatstroke, Earth on the Brink. And he is the co-author with Steve Horn about the article on DSmog blog about LNG exports. Welcome to the program, Joshua.
Thanks for having me back.
Let's first talk about these hurricanes before we get into what Trump is doing with LNG exports. Irma came right after Hurricane Harvey that impacted Houston. This is hurricane season, as we keep having to remind ourselves. It's not a surprise that we're seeing so many hurricanes, but the scale is unlike what we've seen before, right?
That's right. And really has to do with the intensity of the hurricanes. And what we've seen over the course of the last couple of decades is a drastic increase in how much rain is falling. Category of hurricanes has increased overall. And the damage that these hurricanes are causing are much, much worse. And it largely has to do with the fact that when our climate warms, so our oceans are warming as well, which means more water is evaporating, which means more water is able to dump in these hurricane situations, which, of course, we saw in Houston. And of course, they're going to be dealing with for years to come in Florida as well.
So 11 people so far dead as a result of Irma. And people are talking about creating a Category 6 for hurricanes, right? The Category 5 is the largest category that hurricane experts and scientists have. There is no Category 6, but now there's talk of creating one. I mean, that itself should be a clear symbol of the impacts of climate change, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, scientists are realizing that this warmer air that's able to hold more water will intensify these hurricane situations. And they're thinking that the new norm is going to be increasing. We used to see a lot more Cat 2, Cat 3 hurricanes, and now we're going to be seeing more Cat 4 and 5. So they're thinking about increasing that to Cat 6 to show that there's even another level that we really is unprecedented that we haven't seen before.
And the impact of these hurricanes, these are also things that people haven't dealt with before. Folks living in Florida, in and around Louisiana, they have hurricanes on a regular basis. They have been protecting themselves against this for years. Their infrastructure is built to withstand normal hurricane season. But people weren't prepared for the scale of what happened. I mean, they might have evacuated in the past only to come back to homes that needed a little bit of repair. Now we're going to see people having to completely gut their homes. And of course, people who are lower income just cannot afford it. This is the ripple effect of this can't even be measured, right?
Right. And, you know, and it, what it's really also doing is a lot of people on the coastlines that are used to these sorts of hurricane events, they're going to continue to see those, of course, but what's going to be continuing to happen, which we saw in Florida's situation and in Georgia, that most of these huge storms, as they break up and they go inland, are going to devastate areas that normally have been a little bit protected from these huge events. So it's going to do is essentially impact even more and more people as these increase, as the hurricane intensifies.
So the hurricanes are going further inland to areas where people are not used to having to deal with hurricanes.
Right. I mean, the wind will continue to increase in the oceans as it hits the coast. It dissipates a little bit, but those storms will continue to, go inland and impact even more communities that typically have been a little bit more away from the central zones of the hurricanes.
Let's talk about what the Trump administration has been doing, while these hurricanes have been devastating people's lives. He came into the presidency promising to, first of all, making clear that he doesn't believe there's such a thing as climate change, but then also promising to remove the last of the shackles on the fossil fuel industry. We don't hear very much about LNG, liquefied natural gas. First of all, what is LNG and how big a player is the U.S. in the global LNG market?
Well, liquid natural gas, LNG is liquid natural gas, which is largely coming from the huge fracking industry that totally has expanded under the Obama administration, is continuing to expand under the Trump administration. And I think it's really important to at least historically look at the increase of LNG in the United States across these administrations, because the floodgates were open under Obama and are continuing to flood under Trump. So, and a lot of the same players that are pushing for the deregulation of LNG were active during the Obama administration. Many of them worked for the Hillary campaign, and now they're working for companies that are promoting this small-scale LNG deregulation, which we covered in DSmog blog. So essentially what this is, it fuels industries all over the world, small scale, residential, you name it, anything that uses natural gas can be transported. The natural gas is transported to these markets. So the U.S., just this last year under Trump, is now exporting more LNG than we're importing. And so it's a huge industry, and the potential for it is catastrophic, I mean, as far as its impact on the climate. But the market itself is very excited about LNG, and therefore they would really like to make it easier to move this stuff all over the globe.
I think what you just said about this being an industry that really started booming under Obama is a very important point. While, of course, Trump, the difference between Trump and Obama is that one believes that climate change is real and paid lip service to it, and the other one doesn't, it was Obama that touted the products of fracking, such as LNG, as a more environmentally friendly version of a traditional petroleum, a transition fuel, he would call it often. But is it really, as especially people who live with fracking operations in their backyard understand how devastating this industry is? How do you treat the terminology of environmentally friendly fuel, which both Obama and now Energy Secretary Rick Perry are saying?
Well, it's PR spin, and we could look at an Obama press release on natural gas and fracking, and it would mirror the Trump memo just the same. I think it's really important for people to realize that all fossil fuels contribute to climate change, whether it's through methane or through carbon emissions. So there is no such thing as an environmentally friendly fossil fuel. That's just right out of the gate.
I'm wondering if they're taking advantage of the fact that the N in LNG is natural. And so it seems to fool people.
Well, so is plutonium is naturally occurring too, but I wouldn't want to eat it for breakfast. It's the way that they are talking about this fossil fuel, because it burns cleaner than coal, but the extraction process, the pipeline process, the impacts on the environment globally are astronomical. So it might be a cleaner burning fuel, and that's what they tout as this cleaner fuel, but overall its impact is arguably as much or greater than coal itself because of the methane released from burning and of natural gas.
So there have been regulations and a somewhat lengthy permitting process for small-scale LNG producers in the U.S. to export to outside the U.S., and that's what the Trump administration is now trying to undermine and in wanting to expedite this permitting process?
That's right. So You can think about things in the terms of the scale on which they're being transported. So big, large tankers that flow in and out of the country to Japan, to other markets, to India, all over the world. We now ship to the Netherlands. These big tankers can hold more natural gas, but what they're talking about are these small scale transport. So that's not about the ambitions of the company, it's the size of the tanker themselves. And what these are able to do is go to markets and places that don't necessarily have the infrastructure to handle huge tanker ships. And so while we have regulations on these big ones, these small ones that they really are looking at being the new forefront of this industry, the Trump administration, and I would argue the Obama administration was moving this direction, wants to do away with any kind of overview of these or permitting process for these small scale exports. So of course the industry is drooling at this proposition because it will, you know, in a sense, it's sort of like the fast tracking of trade agreements, although that still would just go through a process. This would do a similar thing in that it would not delay these reviews. The public oversight would be minimal, if at all. And these industries can continue to just pump this stuff out and deliver it all over the world without much oversight.
And LNG, from the point of its removal, extraction, I should say, all the way to the point that it's burned, which includes the transport in the middle, all of that is a dirty process, right? All of that contributes to ongoing emissions in our atmosphere that, you know, we're seeing the final product in the form of these hurricanes, the power of these hurricanes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every aspect of any extraction industry, there are fossil fuels being burned, whether it's the diesel trucks trucking this stuff all over the country, the pipeline development, to the ships themselves burning diesel. It's stuck in this web of fossil fuel consumption, and LNG is not going to break that mold. You know, it's only going to expand our use of natural gas, and fracking, of course, is allowing this to happen where it hadn't happened prior. So what we're seeing is an increase in fossil fuel consumption, not a decrease, even though we may be seeing a decrease in coal use. Natural gas is, of course, increasing globally at this moment, which does not allow us to really meet the goals of combating climate change like we need to.
Now, there are some regulations around the issue of natural gas that permitting process we talked about should be in compliance with. There's a thing called the Natural Gas Act. I mean, many Americans may not be aware of it. And you write about the fact that there is this idea of the public interest in the natural gas industry here that this Act needs to comply with. What is the public interest defined as, and is the Trump administration going to take into account the interest of the public?
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see if, before I get into the definition of it, it'll be interesting to see if the environmental community and those that are critical like myself, but those that have the wherewithal to sue the administration, will use the public interest definition as a sort of a backbone for their case. Basically, the public interest is that the public has an interest in what the United States exports, in this case, natural gas, and they will have the right to review and opportunity for a hearing about any proposed export of natural gas. So if the administration wants to do away with this, the public interest is essentially, evaporated. And so will the public and will these, you know, environmental groups in particular and others and community organizations fight this based on the public interest and saying that we do have an interest in this. It does still fall under the regulations of the Natural Gas Act so that we can have a little oversight and see exactly what's going on so that we, you know, have some repercussions and some recourse. But I will note that the public interest hasn't really been noticed in the past, and environmental groups have come up against a lot of barriers in trying to fight natural gas exports, whether they were large or small. So I don't want to be pessimistic, but I don't believe it's going to really help us in fighting this small scale exports.
But there is a public comment period to change the rules so that permitting can be expedited, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it's set to end on October 16th. And so you can go online and find that. and maybe we can provide a link, but if there's a federalregister.org has a document that you can go to and find this and make a comment. And hopefully some of the environmental groups will be putting out some notices pretty soon. They're catching up to this because it's a very quiet thing that's happening. And of course, while we're distracted by the rest of the Trump administration's mayhem and these hurricanes and everything else that's going on with North Korea, you name it, these are the things that are like sort of the nuts and bolts of what's going on and things that are going to be lasting for years to come way past this administration. And sadly, the Democrats, by and large, don't care about that. They support this. And so we're kind of on our own, as we usually are in these cases.
Right. I mean, and all we have to do is look at the destruction that's being wrought by climate change on our nation and the planet at this very moment to remind us why, of course, it's so important to address these issues. Which are the companies that are involved? I mean, if we're talking about small scale projects, I'm assuming we're not talking about the Exxons of the fossil fuel industry, right?
No, I mean, a lot of the companies, and one main company is Tellurian, and they are a small-scale industry company. And a lot of these smaller companies are now popping up because this industry is booming right now. And so they might not have the capital to jump right into the large-scale market. So they're looking at these small-scale markets instead, which you can think about as literally smaller in capacity, but they want to have more of them. So there's a lot of smaller companies that are involved in this. Some of the people involved in these companies are former lobbyists for other LNG companies. Some of them worked on the Hillary campaign. Some of them advised the Trump White House. So it's really a revolving door. And since this industry is so new, the companies aren't necessarily the big names that we would recognize. Although I would guess that as these smaller companies, just like in the tech industry or other industries that are new, these smaller companies will eventually get bought out. And so we'll know more about them. But this is the new forefront at this point.
So as the smaller companies are attempting to take advantage of this scale of production and championing the easing of the permitting process, what sort of legislative means are the big companies using so that they can get in on the game? You write in the piece on DSmog blog about the Pipes Act. What is that?
Well, the Pipes Act essentially is a regulatory roadmap for small-scale LNG, and what they want to do, it was signed by Obama, and it can contain a provision that the safety standards for small-scale facilities would can be overseen by this. So a lot of analysts believe that as this increase in LNG goes on, that the bigger companies are going to jump in and essentially do away with any sort of regulatory framework for the whole thing. So the Pipes Act is essentially a way to gut regulation.
You write that the entire, nearly the entire oil and gas industry lobbied for that bill, including ExxonMobil and Chevron and BP, the Coke industries, et cetera. So there is an interest. They're really very clearly eyeing this as a place to for the big companies to expand their operations.
Right. So what they essentially want to do is, if they can get away with deregulating the small scale exports, they think that they can standardize the same process for large scale, and that's ultimately their goal.
I see. So again, all of this happening while we're distracted, while the hurricanes are damaging our planet, and this is going forward as a bipartisan project, liberals and conservatives joining hands to continue the fossil fuel industry's growth. So short of the environmental advocacy community jumping on board, what can ordinary people do? Simply try to put their public comments in. We can certainly provide a link to our audience. But you know, it's exciting to try to block pipelines on the ground, but certainly such expansions of the industry, you would hope, would be taken notice by some of the groups like Sierra Club, et cetera.
Yeah, and I think that they will very soon. But I think as far as what the public can do is definitely put in our comments. And I do still believe that fighting locally is the way to go in a lot of these cases. If we if we stop and put barriers for this infrastructure to even be developed in the first place, so fighting fracking in our backyards, fighting pipeline development, it does impact these markets most definitely. So that is a good place to start, at least from an individual standpoint.
And we'll post a link to where the public can post their comments on this rule change. And we'll also post a link to the article that you co-wrote with Steve. Thank you so much, Joshua.
Thanks for having me.
My guest is Joshua Frank, managing editor of Counterpunch, author of a number of books, including the forthcoming Heatstroke: Earth on the Brink. We've been discussing his recent article on DSmog blog with Steve Horn about LNG exports, LNG standing for liquefied natural gas. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.